Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
We're gonna win, twins. We're gonna score. We're gonna win, twins.
Yes. I'm ready. I am ready for it. Judd, are you ready for it?
Am I ready? I got my bat. I'm set to go.
Is there pine tar on that bat? George Brett?
No, I got a better one. This is an old school Daryl Chaney played for the Braves bat. Darryl Look Chaney. At the pine tar. Look at the pine tar. In this
Where'd one. You get that?
I don't know. Baseball card show years and years and
okay.
years ago. But yes, but this one, this is an illegal pine tar bat.
It looks,
Tim
yeah,
McClellan
it looks
like... would call George Brett out and Brett would sprint from the dugout at Yankee Stadium.
It is, by the way, a Statements Monday here on Mackie and Judd. And we got some Twins takes to start off with here. For people asking, I did go to Dick's Sporting Goods to find Declan some good-fitting Gophers things that we will have him wear later on this week.
You went to the store? Okay,
I was going to come in studio today, but I'm a little sick. And unlike Judd, I don't want to subject other people
I'll
to my sickness.
Yeah, he'll be on the other side of the glass. He will not enter my studio.
Yeah, I'll be in. I got the crud.
Judd tells us. 3 days later, like, man, I don't know where I got the crud from. Judd's like, oh, I gave you the crud. Yeah, when we went out to eat last Thursday for a show happy hour lunch. He goes, yeah, I was feeling like garbage. Spread it all over that table.
Yeah, but I'm tough.
That
I'm
food
tough.
Was
I'm
worth
resilient.
It, though. Three Jack, by the way. Three Jack was where we
Great
went.
Spot.
Great spot. So we'll figure out the embarrassing things that Declan has to do in Gophers gear on the YouTube channel later this week. But let's start with this one here, boys. Minnesota Twins related. Sonny Gray fired shots, I think, is the first day.
Oh, yeah. No, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what he said. I don't think we're interested in going four innings and being happy, he said about the starting pitchers. I feel like we had a group last year that was pretty content with going four innings, and we're going four innings and five innings is considered a good start. I disagree with that then. I disagree with that now. I feel like the guys... I feel like just the guys that we have aren't content with it either, which is what you want, especially as a rotation. You want to build off each other. You don't want to go out there and throw four innings and walk away happy about it. Okay, is he taking shots at the organization, or is he taking shots at, like, Dylan Bundy and Chris Archer for just not being capable of going longer in the game?
Well, first of all, I think he's taking shots at both. So I don't think he is. I don't think he is withholding shots here. I think that he is disparaging both sides. And what's interesting about this one is this goes back to, and I think it was Doogie that told us about this, but, you know, Joe Schmidt in the clubhouse last year asked Gray about something pitching wise, and he started in on this at the time. And I think it's very clear now in retrospect, Sonny Gray wanted this out. I want to pitch longer. Don't yank me. But here's the genius. So I think this guy is a pretty bright bulb. And here's the genius of yesterday's comments, which again sounded like they came, according to the tweet that was set up, it sounds like the question wasn't necessarily about this. And he just again went off on a side tangent, which I absolutely love. I get the feeling this is a strength in numbers comment from Gray. I think what we have now is an uprising of sorts.
So Pablo Lopez, they're all saying, enough of this.
Right. Like, Sonny Gray probably is the captain of, how'd you feel about your use here last year? Or how would you feel about if you got yanked? But where I think that this is just fantastic is, you know, I tweeted about this last night, and I immediately got back from some, yeah, fire Baldelli, which is, oh, yeah, fine. But the other thing I got back was, you know, it's proven that, you know, the third time through, blah, blah, blah. And I tweeted folks back. I said, I'm not debating this. I'm saying that a guy who pitches a important member of the staff, right, is clearly throwing down the gauntlet.
Yeah.
This is not a debate about is he right or wrong. This is a conversation about what's he going to do about it, and is it going to look different in 2023 if he does get pulled, which, by the way, goes well above Rocco Baldelli. So I think that this just really sets up for a get your popcorn potential here of, are we going to have guys start to come out and say, that was BS, I could have gone the third time through.
If my math is right on this, all right, I just plug this into stathead.com. The Twins, they played 162 games last year, right? Only 10 times in 162 games did a Twins pitcher pitch 7 innings or more. And Sonny Gray accounted for 3 of those. Dylan Bundy had 1. Joe Ryan had 4. Bailey Ober had 1. Devin Smeltzer had 1. Mm-hmm. So 10, the whole staff, 10 in 162 games. Pablo Lopez alone had 8 with the Marlins last year. Now, some of that's, he's good. He's better than Dylan Bundy, Chris Archer, and he raises the water level of the rotation. Some of it's just philosophical. The Twins pitchers last year were dead last in amount of times facing a third time through the order. How about this? In 25% of games last year, the Twins pulled their starting pitcher before they faced anyone a third time. Like, not even like, hey, how about this one guy? You can face the leadoff guy a third time. And then when they did, and this is probably what the Twins would argue, when the Twins did face hitters a third time, they had the 5th worst OPS against. So the Twins would say, well, there's a reason we do it, because our guys get smoked. And my comeback would be, well, not every team's pitchers get smoked a third time through the order. So either teach them how to deal a third time through. I think the old school guys like the Jack Morrises and the Burt Blylevens would tell you there's a way in which you go about navigating a third time through the order that the Twins just either don't teach or don't find pitchers that are capable of doing it. So I kind of love the uprising here. I love that you want this is competitive too. You want this. I'd rather have a rotation that's like fighting for the ball than one that's like, whoo, got out of there after 4 2/3 unscathed. Thank God, right? So, very interesting.
Judd, you go. We got a station off the air right here at on the other side, so I have to manage something here.
Is it ours? Is it 1500 ESPN or is it my time?
It is ours, so I'm dealing with
I think they're
that.
Doing tower work.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I got people looking in the door. So, yeah, Judd, you go at the Twins.
Or maybe Greeny just had to go to the bathroom.
I'm not saying this. I'm just reporting this.
All right. Okay. My statement is this. Get that station back on the air. It's bad for business when stations are off the air. Statement that will be on the baseball theme as well. And it's this. Let's get going. I am, as a baseball fan, I am so excited to see. It looks like we're back.
We're back.
Are we back?
Yes.
Greeny's back? Okay.
Thumbs up from Declan right there. I am so excited to see what these rule changes do now in games in the regular season. And this is as excited as I've been to see something from a sports standpoint, just from an overall how it's going to change the game itself. No shifts, pitch clock, can only throw over, I believe, twice before it's called a balk. Baseball started, I don't know if you guys saw it, I think it started last week, an ad campaign. Like, about this is how the way game is supposed to.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's all over social media. They've done a good job.
Brian Cranston's involved in it. So, like, they've actually paid some cash to do this. But it's my opinion that this is going to be one of the most positive things for a sport that all three of us absolutely love. But a sport that has, in some ways, had become unwatchable. And certainly, as far as attention span in 2023, had become very hard to follow. I am super excited to see what this does, what the changes do, And as much as the old school folks, Phil, might say, oh, yeah, you know, this is going to alter the game I loved as a kid. Every alteration like this, though, changes strategy, which I think is great fun. I always thought that putting the guy on base in the 10th, it changed your strategy, which I thought was fantastic. That's so, like, great. it didn't make the game worse. It changed the game. This is a game that needs some changes. So let's get going. I am very excited for opening day.
They left that one, right? We still put the runner on second base in extra innings? Okay.
Yes.
In the so we left that one. Yep. Yeah, I think I saw one commercial over the weekend with Joey Votto hits a ground ball through the infield and it goes through and he comes around in first base. And I can't remember exactly what the logistics of the commercial, but he's, you know, he's like, that's a base hit now? Yeah, it's great. You know, find out they're marketing the three major rule changes in baseball that make the game better. And I love that they're committing to it. Sometimes when baseball makes changes, they like spend time apologizing for it, right? Because they don't want to piss anyone off. No, your game needs changes, and these changes make your game better. And not to be an ageist, but the 64-year-old guy named Frank who's mad about the game that I grew up is being changed, it's like that guy's still going to watch. You're not going to lose the guy that, put it this way, speeding up the dead time between pitches isn't going to chase fans away. Oh, I really wish I could see, you know, remember when Nomar Garciaparra would spend a half hour like adjusting his batting gloves and tapping his toes? So, boy, I really wish I could see Jose Altuve spend 45 minutes between pitches trying to, you know, adjust his whatever. So, yes, excited to see what this all looks like. All right,
I'll give you a Twins statement now as our maintenance, I think, has been completed on the old 1500 side. My statement is,
happy 100th anniversary in May to AM 1500 frequency. Yeah.
Doing well. Still there. Still hanging out. My statement is, lead this team. So Carlos Correa is back now for the second time after spurning two other teams this offseason. And last year was exciting because it kind of obviously came out of completely left field. He signs here. He has a good year. He doesn't really come up in clutch moments in the first half of the season. In September, he finally delivers some big moments when it was a little bit too late. And at that point, the Twins had relinquished their lead on the Central Division. And their playoff hopes were basically all but shot. This year, Carlos Correa, as the face of this team, and rightfully so in my opinion, has to lead this team, has to come through in big-time moments earlier on in the season. And when you have a chance to run away with the division, which, hey, the Twins were in first place for about 75% of the season last year, you can't let these games go away. When you come up with the bases loaded, which you remember he did last year in a big-time game in the bottom of the ninth, you can't roll over a ball for a 4-6-3. You got to do something here to lead this team. And I think he will. He's won a World Series. He's been in big time moments. He has a big personality. I love him. But you have to come through throughout the whole season here, lead this team, get him back to the playoffs, and hopefully, for the love of God, win a playoff game for the first time in 20 years.
It does feel like people have kind of very quickly gotten over the fact that he left us. We were dating for a year and he left us. And very publicly went and dated someone else for a little bit, and then it kind of blew up. And then, the first relationship falls through. Now he has a chance to, come back, make it right, come back to us, right? Now he picks a third date, and they date for a while, and then he comes back to us again. We're just like his fallback option. But I don't think anyone cares, right? The Twins clearly don't care. Fans don't seem to be worked up about it. So it's almost like nothing happened. All right, he's... Nothing to see here. He's just back. He's going to be the shortstop until his ankle explodes.
Is there going to be like a ticking time bomb?
Like a promotional countdown clock. Come out to the ballpark tonight. Yep. You never know if it's going to be Carlos Correa's last game before his ankle explodes.
500 days until we expect his ankle to blow up on the field.
Could tonight be the night? Come to Target Field and find out. Come to the family section and pay only $2.50 for a hot dog that you wait in line for seven innings to get.
Yeah, and a cheap beer.
Yeah.
It's really a cheap beer, too. It's not one of our good ones.
Okay. Here's my next statement. Mm-hmm. Moving off the Twins and into another Minnesota sports team. What an embarrassing weekend for Gopher basketball. Allow me to explain here, okay? So the Minnesota State High School basketball tournament was going on at Target Center. Yeah, it shows how much I pay attention. My Buffalo High School squad made it to the quarterfinals and played Lakeville North, the 2007 state champions, Buffalo High School. And they got beat by Lakeville North. And one of the kids on Lakeville North's team, Nolan Winter, put up 20 points in that game. Had a good game against, was it Wayzata in the semifinals? Yes. So Nolan Winter, one of the best players in the state, son of two former Gopher athletes, scores 20-plus points in state tournament games, going to Wisconsin. Son of, again, two former Gopher athletes,
right.
A volleyball player and a basketball player. There's a great junior on Wayzata that has like six or seven different Division I offers, including Creighton, Iowa, Wisconsin, Xavier. I think St. Thomas has made an offer too. The Gophers just nowhere to be found. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I guess they could still come in and make an offer. Over on the college side, Marcus Carr hitting key buckets for Texas in the Sweet 16 in the Elite Eight. They eventually bowed out to Miami. But he bolted Minnesota 2 years ago. The first chance his stock got high enough to go play for a real program, right? And then if you noticed, San Diego State made their first trip to a Final Four over the weekend, coached by the son of a former Gopher basketball head coach, Brian Dutcher, son of Jim Dutcher. He's a Gopher alum and was born in Minnesota, and he's just been in San Diego for like the last 20 years. Had a couple chances to go hire him, but I don't know if he was too expensive or whatnot, or Ben Johnson was just that much better. It's just amazing when you look around. The high school basketball players coming out, the chances to get guys like Brian Dutcher, Eric Musselman, the Miami men's basketball program, it came out this weekend. So it's their first ever trip to the Final Four, Miami basketball. Those players are receiving a total of $2.2 million in NIL payments. It includes $800,000 for transfer guard Nigel Pack. That's how you get organized and boost your program. Meanwhile, the Gophers and Mark Coyle are trying to figure out, like, okay, should we sell some Girl Scout cookies? Should we set up a lemonade stand outside Blarney in Dinkytown? Get $5 for someone to come over here and play? Maybe we can get a transfer from Drake. It'll be great.
Yep.
So I don't know, I just watched the whole weekend of high school and college basketball and thought, boy, what a bad referendum on the state of the Gopher men's basketball program.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This comes back on one person too. Mark Coyle. This is not a Ben Johnson problem. This is a Mark Coyle problem. And the fact that the Gophers were woefully unprepared for where NIL was going, like, Mark, that was your job. Your job was to see into the future to make damn sure that you were competitive. Like, I don't think people get this. The state of the Gopher basketball program is inexcusable.
What did they think was going to happen when those floodgates opened? They think, oh, we'll just feel it out for a few years.
What I've heard is they were basically like, our job is to make sure that we're in compliance of this, but it's not our job to have that cash. And it's like, no, that is your job. As Royce said last week,
dude,
there are schools that now are hiring coaches who are like called, I don't know, assistant asset management coach, who's in charge of NIL money. And the Gophers are like, are we in compliance? First of all, it's the NCAA. You know what? The one thing that has struck me in my old age is this. Does anybody care? Like, if you cheat and get caught, does anybody give a damn? Like, did 1997 not happen? Does anybody, like, do you think?
But it's not cheating. You don't have to cheat. Just have an organized plan to get money to good players.
Is if you do cross the line, I don't care. Like, if you tell me your team can make
you
run.
But Judd, you've like, you don't have to like light your program on fire anymore.
But the Gophers are afraid to do anything. That's the point. My point is, you better be able to be in a position to maybe cross that line than to be the Gophers right now are in the back of the line.
Get to the starting line. You're talking about crossing the line. They haven't done anything.
But the point is, the NCAA now more than ever is just a complete joke. You need to win. It needs to be fun. And Mark Coyle has made it so that his basketball coach has no chance. And I'm telling you right now, too, here's the other thing that's going to come to pass. That I disagree with Patrick a little bit on this one. Patrick doesn't think that the NIL money is as important for football because basketball has some star players. But I don't think you can just be like, well, we don't have a, you know, go for football. If they want to give themselves any chance, they need to have money for at least certain positions, i.e. quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I think, and I agree with his point, that it's more impactful if you get two players to stay in state that otherwise would have gone to Wisconsin or Xavier or something. You can change your whole program. That's what Miami has done.
But how does Minnesota, which is a white, you know, white-collar market, I mean, we've got Fortune 500 companies, we've got a ton of alums. How is that the main sports programs at that school? How are they not swimming in cash?
Dude, I feel like St. Thomas has a better chance with this sort of NIL.
They better run.
Does it also feel like, maybe this is totally anecdotal, I'm sure someone could prove me wrong on this, but it feels like St. Thomas alums are just like more loyal and ready to help in any way than, at least recently, than a lot of the Gopher alums. I don't know. Maybe it's just more concentrated.
I think it's proactiveness. And I think the difference is Phil Esten is proactive. I feel like Coyle is always afraid of the fallout, where the good ADs are like, no, we got to go. We got to at least take steps towards being proactive to do this. The NIL thing was all about basically reading the tea leaves and seeing where it was going, not being afraid about pulling out your big academic probation book and saying, are we crossing this line? Are we crossing that? That's what they've done. Yeah. It's maddening.
So anyways, all right.
Maddening. All right.
Get that off.
Please cue the rouser up, because I got one thing to say. Mission not accomplished, but good job so far. Go for hockey, baby. Big win. Big win right there. That's right. Basketball, you know, might be down, but hockey sure ain't.
You actually, you went a little bit more easy on this one than one of my statements was going to be. Getting to the Frozen Four is not a great accomplishment for the University of Minnesota Hockey Team.
Mission not accomplished, but I am celebrating. That St. Cloud State game was a good game, and that's a good team. Yeah. That was two good teams. Like, that team is Canisius-like. It's a really good team. But the fact is, you're right. Mission not accomplished yet. This is a Frozen Four championship team, and this program hasn't won the Natty for 20 years. We need the Natty back.
I agree. I think in part of my – it's great. The St. Cloud win, awesome. We're going to make Declan wear a bunch of Gopher stuff at some point this week. It'll be fun for Declan. Mm. But, like, when you have to you have to win two games, this is one of the best college hockey programs in the country for 25 years, if not the best college in terms of the players they pump out, right? Your first game is against Canisius, so it basically doesn't count. And then it's a 16-team bracket. So, to me, pay it off at some point here. It's been 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's been exciting. Nice win against St. Cloud State. Let's not get too excited about winning two games, one against Canisius, and getting to the Frozen Four.
But I think that's what I want to see, too. Even as a kid, by the way, who grew up as a big-time Gopher hockey fan and remembers those national titles well, your other state schools have trumped you in the last 20 years. UMD has won national championships. St. Cloud was in it last year. Minnesota State Mankato has won a ton of regular season games and got to their first Frozen Four. If we want to talk about Pride on Ice, well, let's talk about Pride on Ice the last 20 years, and where's your banner? And yeah, everyone loves always make fun of St. Cloud of, oh, go hang your NCHC banner. You've done the same thing for the last 20 years. Big Ten titles, WCHA, Big Ten tournament, that's all gravy. But to be honest, you have been on par, if not below, the other in-state team. So go pay it off. This is a damn good team. It should win the national championship. But if you're going to talk Pride on Ice, Let's take all that into consideration and go out.
I feel
and
like
it.
Declan's lashing out a little bit.
Yeah, he's lashing out about because he's saying,
I think we can talk about our school in that way. You're an outsider, guys. You're an outsider. Yeah, you're an outsider. Go Gophers.
Mission nice. Not accomplished.
Row the boat.
The Frozen Four. Oh wait, hold on a second. The Frozen Four is going to be great.
You gotta lay the towel. There we go.
The Frozen Four. You got BU. A Gopher Michigan final would be epic.
That'd be awesome.
How are we feeling about the Fargo location there? Was it overkill to put that many Minnesota teams up there? Could we have saved one for a different area? How do we feel?
Well, I think the story that played out was this with the first round, not the second round. I think what played out was the field wasn't good. Like, part of the problem was UMD and North Dakota not being good really, really hurt. Okay. So they could have spread out the teams more to get more, you know, more quality, I guess. But look, it's the NCAA. They are trying to make money. That Fargo, that Shields Arena is small, and it probably was a pretty penny to get in. Fine. That was the goal. But the first round was epically bad.
Yeah. Dex, give us one more statement presented by our friends at Underdog Fantasy.
That's right. The best and easiest way to play fantasy sports. You can join with promo code SCORE, S-K-O-R. First time use a little $100 bonus. I love seeing all the slips that are coming in. In fact, the Wild set their lines for tonight's game. I even saw they got some Marc-Andre Fleury props, got some Ryan Hartman props. You want to keep riding that magic from over the weekend. Plenty of options to take on Underdog Fantasy with the Wild, the Wolves. Got the Masters coming up here pretty soon. Plenty of great options at Underdog Fantasy. Go check it out. I'll stay with the Wild, and my statement is Revo. Ryan Reeves, who is taking smelling salts and puking on the bench and still going out there and figuring out ways to make a big impact. He's a big guy. He's always known as kind of being a little bit of a goon to a degree, but he's found a little bit of offense here. He's been a great jolt. He was kind of the first trade. And that was a surprising one around Thanksgiving time, and that's when the Wild started playing really, really good hockey. He's been instrumental, I think, in the Wild's, you know, turnaround here over the last 5 weeks, where they have been basically the best team in the NHL. Revo, don't discount Revo. We talk about Kirill and Boldy. Revo's right up there too.
That was a great clip because it kind of went viral on the internet. He got the first thing of smelling salts, and he did. I don't know if it was dead. I've never tried smelling salts.
He's like, nah, it's not working.
Not working. So someone gave him another one, and he was like, "Whoa, okay, that was it's a fresh batch."
And then he puts his head down, and you can see him puking.
Yes, amazing. What have you guys ever taken smelling salts?
I haven't. I've heard my friends. This is just going to sound terrible. Well, my degenerate friends, they take them at the bar. Like to get them going if they've been out a while, they'll take
a vodka Rebels not strong enough.
I've never done one.
5 hour energy.
I already have a sensitive stomach, and when I know when I hit my limit drinking, that hey, this is going to be an issue. So I don't want anything that like heightens that issue. So I've never done them, but I would try it. Maybe I would try it.
I'm gonna guess that your friends who do smelling salts at the bar also chew when they're drunk.
Oh yeah, I'll chew when I'm drunk though. That's not a surprise.
Wait a second, you're equating putting a dip in when you're buzzed to doing smelling salts?
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. Have you chewed before?
Yes.
Oh my god,
it's disgusting. A disgusting habit, but I do like it. I do enjoy
really?
It.
Really?
Yes, it's disgusting. It's
gross.
It's terrible.
It's freaking
on the
awful.
Golf course.
But it's like a common thing. Yeah. Like a lot of people put a dip in. You know, like I feel like half the NFL players in the league have a dip in when the game's over.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's not many people go to the bar with smelling salts to get after it at like Williams Peanut Bar in Uptown. Let's go. Come on.
God. No, I don't do it. I tried chewing in eighth grade once, and it's like, this is absolutely so gross.
Maybe we should try smelling salts to get you pumped for a Feedback Friday.
I would do smelling salts before chewing.
What? Okay.
I would do smelling. Well, but I wouldn't try.
I'm going to Amazon right now.
You could buy them on Amazon.
My guess is that I think Ryan had the extra strength ones. Like that was probably off the charts. And he was also, was that smelling salts or was that an alternative to smelling salts?
I mean, it's smelling salts. It's definitely smelling
salts. Funny. When you search smelling salts on Amazon, you get a bunch of things like,
and now feel
like bottled insanity, wake the dead. And then you get lavender bath salts. Actually, I think Judd getting into some bath salts would also be entertaining. Some cold wild takes here tonight.
Bath salts are fantastic.
That's right. I'm trying my Himalayan sea breeze tonight, and I'm very calm about Dean Evison's line changes. Judd Zolgad here.
It sounds good to me.
For Olivia.
Nice Masters. Little bath as I age. I have no problem with that. I have zero problem with that.
All right. We'll get you some smelling salts for maybe for the NFL draft night 2, I think is what 4 hours into our live stream. See if we can jack Judd up.
I'll do it.
Amazing. All right, speaking of, check out Purple Daily, too, where we got into the latest reporting from the Star Tribune on what exactly happened between Kirk Cousins and the Vikings and their contract discussions. And we'll see you guys tomorrow on Mackie and Judd.